Good morning, everyone. Today is Friday, the 3rd of May. Excuse my cough today, please. Something must be going around or something. Anyway, every time my wife has an energy drain or something like a cold or something, she go, they must be spraying the air again. we have a lot of chemtrails up here. I know that a lot. Be perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:48. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Genesis 17:1. Hello, Oscar Graves. Greetings. Good to see you. Ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. Leviticus 20:26. You are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Good morning, Ben Tamale. Greetings. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord, who looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, and being not forgetful, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Colossians 2:10, Titus 2:14. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. 2 Peter 3:14, Psalm 119:1, James 1:25, and Psalm 139:23 and 24. Well, we cannot be perfect. We know that. But you know what? We are perfect in the imputed righteousness of Christ. Our perfection is in what Christ has done on the cross. We are told that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But we can only accomplish this through the work of Jesus Christ. Greetings, Peter. Peter Ottigabade. There are many, many scriptures that command us to be holy. Be holy as I am holy. We are exhorted to walk in ways that are pleasing to God. We are exhorted to flee fornication. We are exhorted to not to walk after the lust of the flesh. All of these things. And it's good exhortation. We are to live separate lives. You know, in a society where you have 55% of the population living in either divorced relationships or living in fornication or living outside of the context of marriage, we are finding less and less representation of people living lives that are in conjunction with the Word of God. You know, the Bible teaches, Jesus Christ teaches, and the Apostle Paul teaches, that if a man or woman divorce, they are not to be They are not to remarry. They're not to remarry until that spouse dies, and then they're free to remarry. People don't go by that teaching at all in Scripture, do they? They do whatever feels good. We've gotten away from these biblical teachings of the Apostle Paul and Jesus Christ. You know, there's a reason why Christ taught the doctrine of marriage and the prohibiting remarrying apart from a spouse dying. Because the marriage is representative of the church. You know, it's amazing to me how someone says they believe that Christ never divorces us. But they have no problem with divorce. And even if they're not the ones that institute the divorce, we are still in the bond of holy matrimony, in that that spouse will always be our spouse until that spouse dies. It's likened to the church. But people don't conduct their lives like that at all. They don't see their first wife as being still their wife. And that's why they can go and remarry. Greetings, Ashley. This is not a popular doctrine at all. But Christ taught it is not proper to remarry until your spouse dies. And then you're free to remarry. I know many, many people that have had multiple wives, which really is an oxymoron in terms. You can only have one wife until that wife dies. And you can go to the Scriptures. I'm not going to go there this morning. I think eventually I will do a study on this, but you know, it's amazing. I know how lonely people must get when they're separated or divorced from their spouse. And I probably don't really know. It's easy to say I know. It must be very difficult. But, you know, there's a lot of things that we have to contend with that are very difficult, but that doesn't give us a license to disregard what the Word of God teaches and do what our flesh wants us to do. And I know people say that's easy for you to say because you have a faithful wife, and that is right. I don't deserve the wife that God gave me. She's precious. And we probably wouldn't be married today if it hadn't been for her sticking with the Bible, knowing that it teaches that you're not to leave your husband. And I honor her for that. But this is the doctrine, that the marriage is likened unto the church. Christ never divorces his people. He never divorces his bride. Well, anyway, for those out there that are tempted to relinquish and succumb to the pressures of the flesh, I encourage you that when you do, you'll find that you have a whole new array of issues and problems in your life that you don't see now. You know, if you marry someone who's been married before, there's probably a reason why they're not married. You know, people can always make themselves look good for a short time. But then after you make that commitment, oftentimes everything changes. And so don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's been my experience. Many times when I have been disobedient to God's word, when I have walked my own way, it usually comes back to bite me. And so I just, you know, I would just caution people. I would caution you. And be careful that you don't lay temptations in the path of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't give an opening to Satan. You know, it's true, God. Satan is God's devil. But also Satan has his work, doesn't he? Satan is the prince in the power of the air that worketh in the children of disobedience. And so, you know what? It doesn't matter what particular sin we're talking about. Whether it's the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, whatever it is, I have good news for God's people. He has conquered sin and death. He's conquered it. That's why he said it is finished. That's why he died on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary. It's because of these problems we're talking about this morning. Bible says where sin abounded, grace abounded more. I'm here to say God can forgive, forgive sin. You know, there is a sin, according to Christ, that cannot be forgiven, and that's the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And what is that? Attributing something, attributing God to being Satan. There were certain people that did that. They tried to say that Jesus Christ was Beelzebub. That's blasphemy. You know, there's a whole group of people now that have false Christs, false messiahs. They're not worshiping the Christ of the Bible. They're worshiping a false Christ. And Jesus warns us. He says, if someone says he's in the desert or he's in the secret chambers, don't go there. Jesus Christ has revealed himself to his elect. He's revealed himself to his people. His sheep hear his voice. They follow him, and no man can pluck them out of his hands. And so I'm just kind of talking this morning, rambling, kind of what's going on in my brain. The other day I was thinking about the marvelous work of the Holy Spirit. If you get a chance, pick up the book, The Holy Spirit by Arthur W. Pink. What a phenomenal book. And you know how Arthur Pink is. I'm not exalting Arthur Pink. I just like the fact that he uses scripture to back up everything that he says. And he has chapters in there about all of the different roles of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit edifying, the Holy Spirit fructifying, the Holy Spirit comforting, the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin, the Holy Spirit comforting us. All of these different roles of the Holy Spirit. Christ said, if I go away, I will send another comforter. And he did. And so we have the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And the Holy Spirit will always do two things. First of all, he will always exalt Christ. And the second thing he will do is always confirm his word. He never goes against the word of God. I've often said that the Godhead is in perfect unity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in perfect unity. But anyway, as we make our decisions in our life, when we go to God in prayer, His Holy Spirit is there to lead and to guide and direct us. And of course, His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, but the Holy Spirit is there to give us the direction and the comfort and the strength that we need to abide in the Word of God. You know, politics is so corrupt today that I find it very difficult to even engage in it. You know, in other words, people have often said, who do you endorse for president? Who do you endorse for senator? Who do you endorse for congressman? I have a hard time doing that because it's so corrupt. People say, well, how can you disengage totally from the political process? Well, I guess my understanding of separation is much more narrower than many people's. But if I understand the Bible, it says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Early in my life, I've shared this before, I was not a believer. And I got conned into becoming a Republican committeeman in the district that I was living in. And it was even though I had to run for that office of committeeman, I ran unopposed, so I was going to win regardless. And because of that, put me in a position where I sat in meetings with politicians, including Bob Dole, which was in the state of Kansas. I used to live in Kansas. And, you know, being around Bob Dole in my early life and being around some of the other politicians opened my eyes to the absolute corruption of political power. You know, I describe Bob Dole as putting his finger in the air, and whichever way the wind is blowing, that's what we do. Bob Dole left his first wife, abandoned her for his second wife, back to marriage again. C.I. Schofield, the absolute propagator of the lies of dispensationalism, left to abandon his first wife and two daughters. I know because he lived in Atchison, Kansas, and the history is clear up here, even in the court records. The judge found him unfit to have custody of his children, even though he probably didn't even want custody of them. It tells you a lot about a person when they do that. I had a relative tell me one time, he'd been married to his wife 25 years and he wanted to take me to lunch. And when he took me lunch, he was trying to justify why he was leaving his wife. And he told me he could no longer live with a fat person. That was his reason for leaving his wife, because she put on weight. People can come up with the strangest reasons, you know, whether their wife burns their bacon, or the husband doesn't mow the lawn, or doesn't take the trash out like it. Well, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, it's just people are not into keeping their commitments. Jesus Christ always keeps his commitments. He says, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. I've shared with you, when my son was diagnosed with his brain disease, the doctor wanted to have a meeting with me and Rosette regarding Mark and his condition. And I'll never forget that meeting. He said, you know, I have really bad news for you all, and I hope you can deal with this. And the prognosis for Mark and his future does not look good. And he said, my recommendations as a professional is that you would put him in an institution and go on and live your lives. Yeah. Yeah. I never will forget what happened. My wife stood up. She looked at me and said, Larry, as far as I'm concerned, this meeting's over with. And Mark has been with us ever since. Has it been easy? No, it has not. It has not. And you know, it's just like Brother Ashley Kinney and some of the things he's had to go through with his wife. You know, he could have, you know, a lot of people would have rationalized and said, well, hey, you know what? It's better just to put her in an institution and actually go on and find another woman and remarry and go on and enjoy your life. Ashley Kinney made a commitment to his wife. And he stuck by her. I applaud you, Brother Ashley Kinney. I'm not exalting Ashley Kinney. I'm just saying that he followed the biblical mandate. You know, isn't it true that when we took vows, it was for better or for worse? You know? And I'd be the first to admit in the all the years that I've been married, since 1974, you could add up the numbers. There's been rocky times in our marriage. There's been times when we've had financial crises. People know some of it. Got terminated from my position. All kind of things we've had to go through. But you know what? God has preserved us. You know, and we love more, each other more than we ever have, because God has caused us to stay together. Well, that's really what I had on my mind this morning. And people don't keep commitments anymore. They're here today, gone tomorrow. Their word doesn't mean anything. You know, and what they'll tell you one day is totally changed the next day. It's amazing. Jesus Christ said, I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's immutable. He never changes. And I'm glad for that. Underneath us are the everlasting arms of God. Well, I want to encourage everyone this morning to think on these things. And if you're married, reaffirm your commitment to your spouse today is my suggestion. Let that spouse know that you are so glad that you're together and that God has preserved your marriage. You know, I am for marriage. I'm pro-marriage. And anyway, that's really all I have on my mind. I hope you have a blessed Friday today. And I'm going to conclude. People say, oh, Larry always has to read one of his poems. Well, I guess you're right. This is called Feelings. Feelings. Sometimes I don't feel like writing or doing anything at all. I rather feel like sitting in a chair with my face against the wall. My feelings I cannot trust, and they often cause me pain, and most certainly my feelings cannot an entrance gain. Into eternal bliss with my Savior and my King, if I'm trusting in my feelings, this will no comfort bring. I should be trusting in the one who purchased eternal life for me. Trusting in my feelings only brings uncertainty. So the next time I start feeling bad about this or start feeling bad about that, Lord, let me see Jesus who sits on the throne of heaven while here on earth they in your face spat. I'm glad you did not go by your feelings, but shed your blood for me so that I would go to glory to live with you eternally. Well, I just want to say that I appreciate you coming on board today with us and sharing this time with us, and may the good Lord be with you all in a special way is my prayer. God bless.